A historic day is unfolding in Washington. Right now, members of the House of Representatives are debating two articles of impeachment against President Trump for abusing his power by pressuring a foreign leader to investigate a political rival and for obstructing Congress's investigation of it. Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern led Democrats' defense of the proceedings.
Madam Speaker, we are being tested on something greater than our ability to toe a party line, something more than our ability to score the next great television soundbite. This is a democracy-defining moment.
Let's bring in our political strategist, Bill Press, a Democrat and host of the Bill Press podcast. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Jeremy.
And Alice Stewart, Republican strategist, joins us today from Little Rock, right, Alice?
Right. That is correct.
Okay,
hi, Jeremy.
Welcome.
Hi. All right. Thank you.
So let me start with you, Bill. How big a moment is this after all that has led up to it?
It's huge. It really is. You started out by saying it's an historic day. It is. It is only the third time in our history, as everyone has pointed out, that an American president has been impeached or will have been impeached by the end of the day. It's a historic day. I think it's a sad day. I think it's sad that someone could so openly, brazenly abuse the powers of the office of the presidency. And the decision about whether he should be held responsible turns out to be a strict party line decision on one side, certainly without any apparent interest in the facts of the case. And I think we know how it's going to play out, and then it moves on to the Senate. I don't think it's a moment that anyone should be gleeful or cheery about.
Alice, how do you view this day?
It is a somber day, and it's a sad day for many reasons, specifically the founders of our country and those who wrote the Constitution never intended for there to be single-party impeachment, which is exactly what we have. And here in Little Rock, I was actually in Little Rock when Clinton was going through the impeachment process, and the big difference between this and what we had 21 years ago was that President Clinton lied to a federal grand jury. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was a clear case of impeachment. This is much different. And we've heard a lot of talk from Republicans and Democrats as we've gone through this process. But this morning, Jerry Nadler said something that really jumped out at me, being critical of Republicans who were opposed to impeachment. He said, we cannot rely on impeachment to correct misconduct in terms of what happens next. Or he actually said, we cannot rely on an upcoming election to correct misconduct. Well, at the same time, Democrats cannot rely on impeachment to correct an election they didn't like. This is what it boils down to. Democrats didn't like the past election, and this is their remedy for it. And this is not what impeachment is all about.
Alice, if I may, Jeremy, just to jump in a second. I mean, that's just silly. This is not about whether or not Democrats liked what happened in 2016. It's what Donald Trump did on July 25 and before and after trying to subvert the next American election. But I just want to add that there are two things that are different about the Clinton impeachment, which, by the way, was 21 years ago tomorrow,
right.
December
right.
19. One is that it was not exactly a strict partisan vote. There were 31 Democrats in the House who voted to open the impeachment inquiry. There were 5 Democrats in the Senate who voted to convict President Clinton. So if the Republicans are all hiding behind Donald Trump, they can't complain. That's just one-sided. It'd be easier for them to fix it by maybe facing the facts and voting the right way. But the other thing I would point out is I can't believe that Republicans were so gleeful to impeach Bill Clinton for, yes, lying under oath about a consensual act of oral sex. And now they totally ignore a president who bribed a foreign president to influence the next election. It's night and day, the difference between what these two presidents are accused
of.
Well,
let's listen to hear to what President Trump has been saying about this. Yesterday, reporters asked him if he accepted any responsibility at all for the impeachment vote.
No, I don't take any. Zero, to put it mildly. They took a perfect phone call that I had with the president of Ukraine, an absolutely perfect call. You know it. They all know it. Nothing was said wrong in that call. To impeach the president of the United States for that is a disgrace.
Alice, let me ask you, let's assume that the House impeaches President Trump, and let's assume that he is acquitted by the Senate, and let's even assume that he gets reelected next year. What lesson should he take from what has just happened?
Well, I will go out on a limb and say that all three of those assumptions you just made will come to fruition. That will happen. But the lesson that the president will learn and Republicans will learn is that Democrats will stop at nothing to pursue their agenda.
So he shouldn't take any lessons for his own behavior from this?
Look, Jeremy, any lessons or any type of consequences or any repercussions if the people feel like he should suffer or face as a result of this phone call, he will face those on Election Day. And if he is reelected, then that is what the will of the people states and what they want. And to that end, Democrats who have been pushing this impeachment line for all these weeks as we've had this hearing, they have not moved the needle in any way, shape, or form. We're still looking the latest polls, the average of the polls, 51% of people do not want to see this president impeached. So this is not a winning argument for the Democrats. And to the president's end and many Republicans' end, this will only serve to embolden Republicans and even swing over some independents who may be frustrated with this process because this is what they're seeing in Congress.
Bill.
Again, if I may, as I said the last time we were together, forget the polls. The polls are meaningless. They should have nothing to do with this conversation. Yes, 90% of Americans support background checks, but Republicans don't say, oh, look at the polls. We got to pass it. Now suddenly they're concerned about polls when it comes to impeachment. And I think back to your question, Jeremy, what the president ought to learn, I would hope would learn from this, is that nobody, not even the president of the United States, is above the law. That's what's at stake here. But unfortunately, I think he will walk away from this knowing that as long as his cowardly Republicans stand behind him, he can get away with anything. He can trash the Constitution. He can bribe a foreign president. He can undermine our very democracy. And these cowardly Republicans in the Congress don't give a damn.
Okay. As we look forward to January, the probable trial in the Senate, just quickly let me ask each of you, starting with you, Alice, do you think that there will be witnesses in that Senate trial?
I assume there will be, but they may not be the ones that everyone is certainly hoping
like
for.
Like Mick Mulvaney
and
John Bolton.
John Bolton, no. I don't expect them to come forward any more than I expect Hunter Biden to come forward or Adam Schiff to come forward. The Senate will go about this in a very judicious manner. I think it's in everyone's best interest to go ahead and move forward and put this behind us so we can focus on more important things that the American people are concerned with. But that remains to be seen. But anyone who's expecting to see any new revelations come out as opposed to the Senate is going to go in there, get the job done, and move forward.
Bill, do you think that there'll be any witnesses?
I would agree with Alice. I don't think the witnesses that everybody would love to see, like John Bolton or Hunter Biden or Joe Biden, are going to show up. Mm-hmm. There may be some witnesses, but I think the key question is, will there be a fair trial? And I must say, when Lindsey Graham says, yeah, I don't consider myself a fair juror, when Mitch McConnell says, I'm going to let the White House counsel decide who testifies and how long we stay and what we do, I don't see any prospect or any hope of a fair trial in the Senate under Mitch McConnell.
And that's exactly how Republicans view the hearing that went on in the House under Nancy Pelosi.
Alice, they were invited to testify in the House, and Donald Trump said, nobody testify, nobody send over any documents, we are not going to cooperate. The fact that they were not there in the House is the White House's fault. They held back.
Let's spend the last minute and a half we have talking about 2020. And there's a debate tomorrow night between seven Democratic presidential candidates: Biden, Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, Yang, and Steyer. Bill, first to you. What do you think the candidates need to do briefly?
I think they need to hold their own tomorrow night. And I would hope that they will talk about impeachment and what it means to the country. And then I don't think, frankly, from any of these debates, we've seen the needle move so far. I regret the fact that Cory Booker is not going to be in the debate. Julian Castro is not going to be in the debate. So except for Andrew Yang, it's going to be an all-white, all-white person show, which I think is not good for the Democratic Party.
Well, and do you think, Alice, that since Joe Biden has been gaining a little bit of momentum that he may have lost earlier on, that somebody's going to go after him again tomorrow?
Without a doubt. He will have a target on his back as well as Pete Buttigieg, I believe. And the real takeaway from this is the fact that we're seeing the two of the more moderate candidates, Biden and Buttigieg, who are gaining strength in the polls. And this should serve as a lesson to the other candidates that those that are too far to the left are the ones that are falling in the polls. And we can also take a lesson from the Brexit vote. The ones that were too far to the extreme did not win. So the bottom line is the more moderating voices seem to be doing well in the Democratic primary.
You know, as we think about Brexit, the next step now is going to be whether Britain can stay together because Scotland wants out now. So we will continue to monitor that. Alice Stewart, Republican strategist, and Bill Press, the Democrat, host of the Bill Press podcast. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks
guys. Merry Christmas.
You
Merry
too.